this morning is the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation we've been studying. We ended our study last Sunday in the 15th chapter and the last verse with a time when the temple of God was filled with smoke and men could not enter the temple. There's only one time in history that I can think of, the best of record we have in history, that was true of the church of the Lord, and that was during the Dark Ages, when the light of the gospel was so hidden and spiritual darkness abounded until men could not see the way of truth nor enter the kingdom of God. Since the church was established, that's the only time I can think of. But as we said last Sunday, that 15th chapter was a record of a time of preparation for the pouring out of the last plagues of God. Seven last plagues. In that chapter we stated that there were seven angels that had the seven last plagues. And as we begin the 16th chapter today, the first verse tells us, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of God, the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." Now, we have maintained throughout the study of these chapters that usually when the earth is mentioned in such sense as it's mentioned in this verse, it means the earthly kingdoms of men, the political part of the earth. That first vial was poured out upon the political kingdoms of the earth. And it said a grievous sore. We know that symbolizes some kind of punishment, some kind of plague. Fell upon the people that had the mark of the beast. We've been studying that beast that rose up out of the sea and represented or symbolized a wicked church that took the church of the Lord into the wilderness of darkness, covered the light of the gospel until it was corrupted. And this first plague was poured out upon the men that had the mark of that beast. That is, worship that beast. Worship his image. Talk about that other beast that came up out of the earth and made an image to the beast that came up out of the sea several chapters back. And the third angel, the second angel, poured out his vial upon the sea. It became as the blood of a dead man. Every living soul died in the sea. We have maintained in our symbols that the sea, as used in this sense, means the church or the religious part of the earth. So this second vial, or this second plague, was poured out upon this wicked church we're talking about. It was already corrupted because it's what brought on the Dark Ages. The smoke that filled the kingdom, that men could not enter into the true kingdom of God. But he said it became as the blood of a dead man. And every soul in it, every living soul in the church died. I don't believe that this refers to physical death, but to spiritual death. What spiritual life there was left in this corrupted church, it was so the spiritual atmosphere was so darkened until it all died. Spiritually, it became a dead church. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers, fountains of waters, and they became blood. We have maintained that waters mean nations, mean people. Rivers and fountains of water would be the beginning place of people. We know that the human race started in the Far East. All religion was started in the Far East. About the time of the 7th century, Mohammed started a church in the Far East. And wherever he went, wherever that religion spread, nations were rolled in blood. And I believe that that is a symbolism here of the third angel that poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters. They became blood. War covered the earth. War between this wicked church we've been studying, the Catholic Church, the papal government, and this Mohammed religion. There was war for about 300 years from the 7th to the 10th century between the Catholics and the Muslims, according to history. And I heard the angel of the water say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus." This shows us that this was God's judgment upon these wicked people. They were religious people, but they were wicked people, and God is pouring out his plague, his wrath upon them, causing this punishment. "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. Thou hast given them blood to drink for their work." And I heard another out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." This angel from the throne saying that God's judgment is righteous upon thee, because the papal government that we've been studying, this wicked church that put the light of the gospel out, has shed the blood of saints and prophets, and now he's given them blood to drink. Blood between two wicked forces. War between these wicked forces, between the Muslim and the Catholic, that just about covered the religious world for some 300 years. "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. Power was given unto him to scorch men with fire." I believe that these seven last plagues that we're talking about run along similar lines, or following the sounding of the seven trumpets. I don't think they run simultaneously, that a trumpet and a plague poured out at exactly the same time, but I think that they followed, one followed the other. When we studied in the 8th chapter the sounding of the trumpets, when the fourth trumpet was sounded, the sun was darkened. And we said that was the word of God, the spiritual element of life. Was poured out upon the word of God. The word of God was darkened by these forces that corrupted it and took the church in the wilderness. The sun only shone for a third part of the day. The sun, the moon, and the stars only gave their light for a third part of the day. Day thereof meaning a dispensation. We're talking about the dark ages. So a third of the dark ages was completely blotted out. There was no light. The darkest part, perhaps the middle part, before any light started to shine again. But here, when these plagues poured out upon the sun, it received its power again. Let us notice that when the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. We have said all the while that fire symbolizes the word of God. But the sun here is the moral heaven, or the moral atmosphere, the Bible, the word of God. When this plague was poured out upon, it had received its power again. God gave it power. I believe that symbolizes the time when it began to be translated back into living language, when it had power again to scorch men. Word of God, when it is given in its truth, power, simplicity, it escorts wicked people. It convicts them of their sin. It tells them where they stand. It burns them. It makes them restless. men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. When a true, honest, sincere person hears the word of God and convicts them of sin, they'll be like the people on the day of Pentecost. We read in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, they want to know what ought to do in order to be saved. But when wicked men, hardened with their conscience seared, is burned with the word of God, what do? They don't repent. No, they blaspheme. Curse against the word of God. They blaspheme the word of God, which had power over these plagues, and repented not to give them glory. It didn't have the effect that the gospel has upon righteous people, but it caused them to blaspheme. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and all their tongues for pain. This shows that this had to be after the beast was established. The beast that we talked about back in chapter 13 that rose up out of the sea, that took over the whole world, had the whole world to worship. And this other beast made an image to it, because it was in his day, because this fifth angel, this fifth eye, was poured out upon his seat. And his kingdom, it shows us also that beast represented a kingdom. His kingdom was full of darkness. It was already full of spiritual darkness so far as the light of the gospel was concerned, because it had made it. But this was something poured out upon them to punish that beast that had taken the light of the gospel. His kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. The Catholic Church, even for all of the persecution and all the power that it has lost in the last 700-800 years, it still today continues to blaspheme the name of God, to claim powers that God, belong to God only, and speak blasphemous doctrine. Repented not of their deed. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Going back once more to the sounding of the seven trumpets. When that sixth trumpet was sounded in chapter 9, there was an angel, a voice from heaven spoke to the angel with that trumpet, to loose the four angels that were bound in the river Euphrates. And those four angels were released, and we read back there about what happened, and it meant war. Physical war as well as spiritual. Here it says that it was poured out upon this river, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The power was dried up. And we said back there in studying those trumpets that the river Euphrates, literal Euphrates, was the source of life, source of water and life to ancient Babylon, which was a symbol of bondage to God's people in olden times. But we're talking about a symbolic bondage, spiritual bondage, this symbolic Babylon. Mystery Babylon the Great represents a spiritual bondage, and this river, Euphrates, would be symbolized the source of power. What was that source of power? It was that wicked church that had taken the gospel away from the people and caused the spiritual darkness that abounded all over the world. But its waters were dried up. What did that mean? Its power, source of life to that bondage, began to be loosened so that people could see the light of the gospel again. The way of the kings of the east were prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now let us notice that there are three people, three persons mentioned. There are three spirits. These spirits are spirits like devil. They're unclean spirits, like frogs. They come out of three sources, three mouths. Out of the mouth of the dragon, who do you say the dragon was? The pagan Roman Empire. And out of the mouth of the beast, who was that? The papal Roman Empire. They took over, combined church and state, took the gospel away from the church. And the mouth of the false prophet, who would that be? That would be anybody that teaches, starts a false church. That third beast, if you studied back there, come up out of the earth and made an image to the beast. And we said that was the Church of England. That was the first image made to the beast. Any false church, any religion that is false, that is put forth by a false prophet, would be another image, wouldn't it? There we have three different spirits now. And those spirits are all evil. It says in the next verse, they are spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle, to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Joining forces now, but to a different spirit. What would them three spirits be? Paganism, papalism, and Protestantism. Any false religion that is not of the others would be included. Spirits gathered people together great battle of that great day of God Almighty. But let us notice verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Here we have a warning from God. In the midst of all this battle, this religious war, all the forces gathering themselves together to fight against the truth of the gospel, and that's what it represents, Jesus speaks, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth, keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Here we have a warning, as in chapter 10 and chapter. Let me check down these chapters. We had two chapters that we studied, where it says, "Here is the patience of the saints." Here is the escape from all this. Blessed is he that watches, they that keep his tongue, lest he be naked and see his shame. Them that stick to the word of God, regardless of what might come along, what spirit might influence, here is that blessing pronounced again. Here is the hope of the Christian. Regardless of what's taught, let us stick to the word of God. That's the only thing that they could be found upon the face of this earth, that could be depended upon in the day of calamity to save the souls of mankind. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. How much talk we have all heard in our lifetime about the battle of Armageddon. The speculation, false teaching concerning what the battle of Armageddon, when it's going to be, where it's going to be, and what it's going to be. What is it? It's supposed to be held forth in the Bible, in this book, as the last war. But is it a carnal war? It cannot possibly be. It cannot possibly be a carnal war. Because it's between all the evil forces of Satan and the people of God. And the people of God do not fight carnal war. Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the darkness and the rulers of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All these forces of evil that are joining forces to fight the Word of God are going to make a war, a final war, against the Word of the truth. But the people of God have one weapon, and that is the whole armor of God, the Word of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it will win. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. There's one more plague before that. You remember when we said, we studied the sounding of the trumpet, that there'd be seven. When the seventh sounded, that'd be the last. And we showed scripture there to show that when the last trumpet sounded, the mystery of God would be finished, the judgment would be set. And we said these plagues come right along in harmony, right behind those plagues, those trumpets. And the seventh angel poured out his violent there, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." It's finished. That's all of it. That's the last. There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. You know, we've been talking about earthquakes and what they represent. They represent the shaking up of kingdoms and all that kind of thing. There's been earthquakes before, literal and figurative. But here it says this was one such as not been since men have been upon earth. This is the worst. This is the last. And the great city was divided into three parts. Let us remember now, three spirits were like frogs. Joined forces, but now they're divided. The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the vine, of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. What did them islands, mountains, represent? Governments, small governments, large governments, all of them shaken up. There fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Now just to try to explain just what this hail, this last plague consists of, I wouldn't dare try. But it shows us that it is something that is awful and terrible that's going to be poured out upon men at the last plague. When will that be? We don't know. In the 17th chapter, we have here the judgment of that great whore, that wicked church we've been talking about. We go back over this time that we're talking about here now in this chapter. It's still leading up to and treating upon the final day of God's wrath. Getting back to that battle of Armageddon, that spiritual war, it is going on now. It has been going on for many years. Ever since the light of the gospel came back and the forces of evil combined to fight it, to put it down again. And in God's time, when he sees fit to pour out this last plague and to finish it up, as we read here, John 4 saw it when he said, "It's done, it's finished." When that last plague is poured out, when that last trumpet is sounded, God's going to come back. Jesus is going to come back to throne his own, take them away from here before the final destruction of this earth. You know, in chapter 14 we studied, there are the two reapings. And I said the first one represented the saving of the saved, the righteous. Because Apostle Peter describes the destruction of the earth in chapter 3 of 2 Peter And no soul, no righteous soul that's going to live forever could be here and withstand the thing that he says is going to happen. When the elements melt with fervent heat, the earth will pass away with great noise, the earth and all things therein will be burned up. You don't want to be here. The righteous will be taken away. Jesus is going to come and get them. If you read in the Thessalonian letter, we'll rise up to meet him in the air, so ever be with the Lord. But then, this last plague, this wrath of God, that's going to burn this earth with fire, described in this chapter. What then does that teach us? What does that warn us of? Since we know it's so terrible, since we don't know when it will be, what is the all-important point that we get from this lesson? And that's to be ready. To prepare ourselves today, every day, to be ready for the coming of our Lord, for the judgment that he has appointed unto all men, so that we won't be here when all this calamity comes upon wicked men, wicked earth.